You're listening to Brew with the Bennetts, which is now available on Patreon. Would you like an extra episode every week available to you on a Tuesday and also early access to the normal episode?
Keep going!
The normal episode, which comes out on a Sunday, you can access that on a Friday. This is all for the bargain price of £2 per month. If you would like to do this, then sign up now! Yes, sign up now! Sign up today! Welcome to the Brew Crew.
My coffee looks weird.
Well, there's not much milk, is there? Not very nice.
It's fine. Yeah. It's definitely decaf.
Definitely decaf.
Okay.
I mean, you don't need full... It's not full bar.
Yeah.
Mine's full bar.
Okay.
We've started, by the way.
Okay.
Tune in, it's Sunday morning. Sit back, relax, we'll talk it through. Brew with the Bennetts and you.
Good morning! Welcome to Brew with the Bennetts. It's Sunday. Maybe it's Friday if you're a patron. But let's go with the fact it might be Sunday for most of you.
Well, because the whole podcast is built around the idea of it being Sunday, which we probably a bit short-sighted now.
It's in the tune. Grab a cuppa and stop that yawning. It's time to tune in. It's a Sunday, Friday morning.
Yeah, we could add a line. Time to tune in. It's Sunday or
Friday
morning,
or possibly Tuesday afternoon.
Or whenever you like, really, because it's on demand.
Yeah.
Brew with the Bennetts and you,
do.
Are you all right, Gemma?
Gotta say, Mickey P. Kerr smashed it.
He did, yeah. Are you all right?
Why?
You got an itchy eye on the left, I think.
No. Nope.
Looks watery.
If we want to go straight into this, this is menopause update, perimenopause update.
Oh, that's early, isn't it?
It is early, but I'm itching.
Itching.
I'm itching, guys. Itching. And if you ever say to somebody you're itchy, they take a couple of steps back. Because you don't want to hear somebody's itchy. You don't want to hear it. What do you think immediately?
Fleas.
Nits.
Nits.
Fleas.
Fleas.
Skin complaint. Scabies.
Yeah.
Dirty. Dirty.
You're a dirty person.
Flaky. Add a few more to the list, everyone.
Thing is, you've lived with me who've had eczema for years.
Oh, I've lived with Flaky Jake over here for 25 years.
It's been like living with a flapjack,
yeah,
hasn't it?
So
you're used to it.
But I am itchy as hell.
You
and
are.
It started the last couple of months. I upped my estrogen to 100 milligrams.
Yeah.
Is it potentially hormonal imbalance?
It could be
Googled
the weather.
Googled it.
I think you might be wrong here. I think it could be the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that weird sort of central
I'm not
heating,
sure.
drying
Not sure
out.
About it. What? Not sure about that.
Well.
So anyway, I'm itching. Not good. Had an antihistamine just about 10 minutes ago. Let's hope that kicks in before the pod's out. Otherwise, I'm going to be scratching the whole way through the goddamn thing.
Can I just say, I know when it'll kick in.
Yeah.
It's when you start going...
No, it won't. Because it's not one of them.
It's not a non-drowsy. It's a non-drowsy.
Non-drowsy, mate.
Yeah.
So I'm itchy and I'm not happy about it. So I'm going to contact my specialist and say, look, love, feeling a bit itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What do you think she'll say?
I think she might say, it's your hormones, love.
She might say, I don't want to speak to you because I might get it down
but
the phone.
But if anybody sees me itching today, I ain't got scabies, I ain't got fleas, I ain't got nits, I ain't got none of that, all right?
I ain't got no nits,
got no scabies, got no
I
fleas.
Can't get no nits. Well, are you all right apart from that, Gemma? It's lovely to see you.
So apart from that...
I love how you just ignored that.
Yeah, hello. Are you all right? Yeah. I've got a hole in my tooth still, so I haven't sorted that out.
Oh, have you?
Still keep getting food in it. So I have to use a toothpick every day to remove food.
Can I just say?
Gross. Disgusting.
Can I just say?
Disgusting.
I would immediately have had that sorted. I would not be heading into Christmas with the thought of having a roses. Caramel.
Yeah.
It's barrel.
No,
stuck
can I tell you what my
tooth.
Problem is? Shall I tell you my issue?
Yeah.
Meat. It's meat, love.
Hey.
If I was veggie, the hole wouldn't be a problem. But I'll tell you what, get stuck in that hole.
What?
Get my meat stuck in my hole.
Oh, brilliant. Sometimes you don't even know you're doing them, do you? Do you think do you think innuendo gets worse as you get older?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, it's,
I was thinking about this.
It's degenerative.
Is it? I was listening to this podcast back, and can I just tell you, we're descending into a couple of nanas. It sounds like...
No, I've turned into my mum.
I was listening, I was thinking, are we on the way to bingo or something? It was like, every little thing is, that's what she said.
That's like, yeah, that chance to be a fine thing. Here we go.
That's all we do.
I know, so anyway.
Yeah, you get a meat in your hole.
Don't like getting meat in my hole.
No. Done it again, The fact that you can laugh twice about it shows the power of that joke.
I've got to say, on my eye flaps, my eyelids, my heavy hoods. Heavy.
Yeah, following up from last week's heavy hood eyes.
I'm doing a big, big shout out to Helen Rich.
Yeah,
she's... Helen Richardson. You feel... Is it Richardson? Richards?
I don't know, but she...
She has saved the day because she's told me about MAC Eye Mascara. So anybody out there who also suffers with the heavy hoods... well have opened the door to me wearing eye makeup.
Wow.
Because MAC do a mascara that does not smudge on your hood.
So, don't smudge on your hood. Do you know what's amazing is, as soon as she said that to you, you look like you...
I'm so excited.
I mean, you can't look wide-eyed because of your hoods, but you were genuinely...
I was thrilled.
It was like a revelation. You were like,
I don't think I've ever ordered anything so quick off the internet, and that's saying something.
Wow. So when I see you at Christmas, then you're going to look like a peacock. Is it going to be like...
No, it's just going to... My lashes will be done.
Well, I'll say to you, your lashes look... Your lashes look amazing, Gemma. And you will say, yes, I've... Got the
good
hood,
lashes,
heavy hood friendly eye mascara.
Do you know I had an anxiety dream after that?
What about?
Not knowing the word for eyelashes in French, and somebody was asking me, and I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they are.
Really?
And then,
that's a shit dream.
I know.
Imagine that being your dream all night.
I know.
Eyelash
related vocab test. It did feel like I was doing it all night as well.
Oh, dear.
You know when you feel like a dream's gone on all night? Well, I felt like that.
I had a bit of an anxiety before starting this pod.
Please.
So I woke up this morning to the sound of machinery. I thought it was someone cutting blocks outside.
Yeah.
But it was a man trimming hedges next door, literally next door.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he was trimming my nose hairs. It's a bit disconcerting to be woken up into a machine world.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like an
onslaught. But I've explained to you
of the senses
before that the world comes alive at 8:30. Builders start at 8:00. Any kind of job like that. If you're still in bed, it's like, sorry, snooze, you lose. You know, the world doesn't stop for people on nights, sadly.
I
feel sorry for folk who work nights because it don't stop, does it?
Yeah, and then he got his leaf blower out.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a moment where he was collecting the leaves and I thought, oh, he's finished. 10 minutes later. Yeah. And I've got to say, a man with a leaf blower. He had air defenders on.
Yeah.
I feel like going, give me your ear defenders.
Yeah.
I need them, mate.
Yeah.
But it's a weird... I always find it weird, the sort of... It looks quite satisfying as a job, blowing leaves. Would you like to do that as a job?
I'd like to have a go.
It looks good.
Sure. I'd love a go.
Anything like that, ride on.
But I do think it's a point... I'd rather get my rake out, though. And I'm looking into our garden. I did the first rake up of leaves, filled the brown bin.
Look at it now.
Going to have to go again, though.
Yeah.
Round two, ding-a-ling-a-ling, get them leaves raked up. And it's really satisfying raking up. You just got to make sure there's no cat shit in there.
Well, yeah. Do you know what I'd love? I'd love to see you in massive headphones, like an air traffic controller.
Doing the blow.
Leaf.
blowing the leaves. Yeah.
Just leaf blowing.
No, thanks. Talking about satisfaction.
Yeah.
Me and you at that arcade last night. So
I was going to say this. This is what I want to talk about.
Go on.
Was a great evening. So evening stroke afternoon. Yeah. Mags and Roy.
Yeah, we were celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Happy
golden.
Golden brown.
Gold finger. Yeah, so we were celebrating that with the fam-a-lama-lama-lama-lam.
Yeah.
And we went for a meal up in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Went to Escape. And my word, we went into the arcades.
It was
And me and Scott... We sank about £5 into this machine.
And
pound a go.
Yeah, what was it?
Throwing balls at monkeys' heads.
No, it was clowns.
Were they?
They were like foam. They were like clowns, and they got heavier as the more points
it was like
you scored.
It was like a coconut shy, but in the form of
but
clown heads.
Gemma was there.
It
the,
was
in,
so
in
satisfying.
A smart red coat.
Smack, smack, smack.
Just wailing.
I was
at one point,
it.
You were like, "Huh."
Yeah. Just really good.
Really
fun.
Went for
and
it.
And I was like, "Let's do it again."
You said this is really cathartic.
So good. You took the left. I took the right. Smashed it.
Do you know what was amazing?
Didn't
though?
Know where the
some,
kids were.
Some point, yeah, we didn't know where the kids were. I think they were just
we were just too engrossed.
But that, so at one point, I just I had a proper arm spasm.
Yeah,
did you see me?
Yeah.
And I threw it across the arcade.
It's so good.
I had to go and fetch it from a man's foot.
Was it Noel's house party where they used to go? Not. I'm not thinking of. Crystal Maze at the end,
yeah.
There was some sort of phone booth where somebody had, they had stuff flying around them and they had to grab hold of it.
Crystal Maze, mate.
Are you sure it's only Crystal Maze?
Yeah, because they had one of them, didn't they, with the balls and the kids are going there. But it was like, I saw my mum and dad had a go, didn't they?
Yeah, everyone had
I've
a go.
Got a
Holly
video.
Ross did.
I'm going to put a video online at the cap. Oh, God, it's something so satisfying
so
about throwing
satisfying.
A ball in a clown's face.
Really good.
And then you won tickets.
Yeah.
And at the end, they can trade the tickets in for sweets.
For some slime.
Slime.
There was a pot of slime each.
But it was good, wasn't it? And I,
it was really
there was a fairground round outside.
Yeah.
And I went on
you
with
went
Liv
on that
and
your brother.
And I had my made Liv laugh with the classic joke.
Yeah.
Because I forget, sometimes you would roll your eyes at my jokes.
Yeah.
And they're proper dad jokes.
Yeah.
But Liv's never heard them.
No.
So Liv howled because I said to her just before it set off, I went, "Are you excited, Liv?" And she went, "Yeah." And I went, we just started to move and I went, "What's that bolt doing on the floor?"
Yeah.
It's classic, isn't
it? Yeah.
She went, "Ah!" And then I said to her as we were up at the top, it was one of those sort of chairs that spins.
Yeah, it's
it was
one
like
of them,
a,
isn't it?
It's like a platform. What is it like?
It's
on a two
it's
arms.
The classic, a row of seats, about 20 seats all in a row, and you. Yeah, how would you describe it?
The motion.
It's the one where you go...
The oscillating motion.
Yeah,
it oscillates.
Yeah, and it goes left, right,
and,
left,
and it's
right.
That classic sort of thing of like you look across and you realise your whole health and safety is in the hands of two lads smoking roll-ups who don't look capable of tying their own shoes. And you think, this has never been checked.
No.
But the thing was, it had that...
That said,
it was great
fun.
Laugh. I think always being on the edge of health and safety is wonderful, I think.
Yeah.
I think one of them was drinking Cillit Bang when he pressed the button. But the thing was as well, you know, like they have those backdrops.
Yeah.
And it was like Americana, wasn't it? It was,
yeah.
Do you know what I love? Is they've not been licensed.
No.
So it's like people who can't really spray paint. So the Statue of Liberty looked like... It looked a bit like, you know, Peter Stringfellow.
Yeah.
The late
They're
Peter
always
Stringfellow.
Aren't they?
I was like, who's painted that, mate?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then the other thing was, I said to her just before we set off, I said, I think I need the toilet, Liv. And as we got to the top, I said, don't worry, it's sorted. She went, I was
fire.
I was.
Wow.
I mean, it's the first time she's ever been impressed. And but yeah, it was
wonderful.
Good. But then
it was good fun.
My mum was like, do you want to go on it again after eating a calzone? No.
No.
Absolutely.
Tapping out.
Mate.
Yeah. So it was great. It was good fun. It was nice to see the fam. We had a toast. It was just good to celebrate together.
We had all the
50
kids.
Years. It's a long ass time, isn't it?
We did.
We've been together 25, but we've only been married 16 years. So we've got another 34 years.
I love how you
to equate to what your mum and dad have done.
I love how you're saying it's like it's a contract. We've got another 34.
Yeah, like
years.
A mortgage,
like parole.
Yeah, yeah.
34.
It's a long ass time, that, isn't it?
Maybe we could pay it off early. I don't know. But do you know what was funny is you gave me the warning, didn't you, before we went up there? You went, now listen, we're going to see the family.
Mm-hmm.
No politics.
Right. Should we say how you started the day? Right. He literally rolled out of bed and went into a full on rant about Matt Hancock, right?
I opened my eyes.
You were so angry. Now,
my
look,
first words as I opened my eyes was, Hancock.
Yeah. So the thing is, fair enough, right? I get you, I hear you, but I don't want it when I'm opening my eyes in the morning. And
I mean, your hoods take a while to... You had to roll them back, Gemma's hoods.
And then I slam dunked you because I was like, right, because I've got an uncle, bless him, Chris, who goes on about politics. And we're like, do you know what? It gets a bit tiresome because you don't want to be always, you know, just avoid politics at family gatherings and stuff. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
And you're getting a bit like that. You're getting a bit grumpy old man, ranty, let's get on a soapbox. Not having it.
I think what happened...
So then I says to him, I says, oh, because my default, well, depends how I'm feeling, but hopefully my default is always humour and I just had to slam dunk you. And I was like, you know what's going to happen, don't you? I says, it'll be Christmas and everybody will be like, who's having Uncle Scott for Christmas this year? And Toby will be like, no, I'm not having him. I had him last year. Your turn, Poppy. And I says, well, we're just passing you around because nobody will want you.
I don't want him.
What?
Yeah, but like that. I don't want him. He's got himself a girlfriend now. He can go there.
Yeah, you did that joke yesterday. It's not funny.
They didn't hear it.
Yeah, but it's not even funny again.
This is why I want to be on
not twice funny.
Do you know what? I want to be on my own.
Once bitten, twice I want to be on shy. My
own. Why would I want to be around family like that who slam me?
Yeah, but it's just, oh.
I love the idea of you just going, I'm not having him. Oh, God, who's having him?
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Because
like a stray
people
dog.
Will want to avoid you.
Why?
Because I know what you'll do. You'll get in the corner, hands behind your back.
Hands you'll what, be, like Liam Gallagher?
Yeah, you'll be tipping on your tiptoes.
Rocking on my haunches.
Rocking on your haunches.
Stood
like,
on a fireplace.
Because you'll be getting, it'll be like winding you up. You'll be getting like,
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll try and steer everything around to politics. So I'll be like, they'll be like, Uncle Scott, would you like some trifle? I tell you what, it's a trifle embarrassing the country at the moment.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, how did you get there?
Yeah.
Exactly. So Uncle Scott, would you like,
turn it back to politics?
Would you,
all the
would
time.
You like to carve the turkey? I tell you who's carved up this country, the bloody Tories. Exactly. That's who's carved up the oil. Yeah.
We're just like, keep it light. Keep it light.
Do you want to open a present? No, I'm going to open a food bank because that's what they're doing, isn't it? Every bloody week. How's that acceptable?
Oh, dear. Anyway.
You'll just say
enough more.
Good night, Uncle Scott.
Yeah.
Time to go home now.
Yeah.
To wave me into my little ward-aided flat.
That's right.
Sit there with the curtains drawn.
Either that or you're going to become Ben Elton on stage. You're just going to be a very angry political comedian.
No, I don't do politics on stage. I don't.
You do it in your tweeties a little bit, don't you?
What do you mean?
You do like to political tweet, poly-tweet, poly-tweets. You do some poly-tweets,
poly-tweets,
don't you?
I don't. I'm very light
politique. No, hang on, I'm trying to make a word thing.
Oh, no. I'm very light on politics.
Stop. Twittix instead of politics.
Well, that was as shit as it should have been.
Twittix. Yeah, politics.
I don't do politics.
I'm not even talking about it anymore. But anyway, it was lovely to celebrate with your mum and dad. And also, what I love with us lot, and by us lot, I'm talking the Bennetts and the Robinsons, is we love the build-up to Christmas. Mm.
Oh, can I just say before we move
on? I'm just going to say something nice.
What I was going to say was, we went for a meal at Ask.
Yeah.
We took a whole wall out of, and going for a meal with kids, I looked at my brother at one point and I went, it is mental really taking children into a restaurant.
No, it isn't. They were very well behaved.
They were very well behaved, but you are on a limited, you do feel like you're on diminishing returns. Like once they've done the colouring, once they've sort of got like a thing that they're playing with, you sort of then on to trying to, you're on to a stay of execution then. Because it's like a moment like you're like, oh my God, what else can we do now? I think it gets harder as the meal gets on.
I think so.
And they were very good. But
they
I
were
think
the, excellent.
It's good that the service was quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what you want to say. When you go into a restaurant, well, you want to go, just keep it rolling, son.
Well, nobody
keep
wants hungry kids, do they?
No, just keep it rolling, son. Come on. Yeah. Don't even let us finish. Just take it out of our hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did very
But it's really nice because we do the whole, we have like, we give each other a decoration for the tree every year.
Oh, is this the build-up?
Yeah, the build-up.
It makes us sound like the Griswolds.
I love it, though. So we did that. So we exchanged decorations. So even though the tree's not up, well, your brother has put his trees up, but we're a bit behind.
Yeah.
We know that we've got those to put up. Then Holly had bought me a lovely decoration, a Christmassy decoration. Your mum had bought me a lovely Christmassy decoration. Like, they both bought me like these metal silver trees, which go lovely in the kitchen.
Look at how excited you are.
I'm so excited. And then we exchanged chocolate calendars. Although I have to say I failed there. I didn't get the kids one.
Ooh.
Tobes and Pops.
You should have given one as ours. We've got too many.
So anyway, our two have got two calendars each now. That's ridiculous. We've got one each. So there's like six calendars.
Do you know what happens is
go.
They open the doors on those two calendars and you know when they get to the 24th, you know what they get?
What?
Diabetes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then what else was there? So we did that.
This is just a list now,
Gemma. Then we exchanged cards. Yeah. So we got all the nice, because we always get each other special cards for Christmas.
Yeah, special
and
cards.
What else did we have? Oh, your mum bought me a lovely Christmas candle.
Oh, it smells
it's
like
so
Christmas,
good.
It?
So
I don't
good.
Like the...
Oh, and she bought me some lovely charms to go around my wine glasses. So nice.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
The one you've got in there that I lit last night is awful.
Why?
It's like chokes. It's like, you know that shop?
I'm not wasting it.
I'm just
burning it.
I have to light just one. There's three what wicks.
Yeah.
If you go,
it's one of them big fat
if you go
round
one
ones.
Wick, yeah. It's acceptable. Bearable. Two wick, it starts
too
to
much.
It starts to be.
Yeah.
Three wicks, it's yeah. like being waterboarded in
yeah.
Lush.
Yeah.
You know, like being in Lush. Yeah. I feel like I'm trapped.
It's a bit potent.
It's yeah. I last night I was watching Planes, Trains, and I was just like, trying to breathe through. It feels like someone's choking me with potpourri.
Yeah.
It's too overpowering.
Yeah.
I don't know why I made a point of that. But
also,
I think,
we did start a little bit of Christmassy film last night, didn't we? So we watched Trains, Planes, which isn't technically Christmas.
It's Thanksgiving film.
But it's the prelude,
isn't
it? Can
I just say as well, if you've not seen that film, the reason why it's interesting at the moment is there's a new cut coming out, which has got all the improvised scenes with John Candy in, right? Which apparently they cut loads. And I've been watching, I'm going to try and say this. We might cut this out of the podcast because I don't know how interesting it is. However, someone's been putting up the deleted scenes and saying that it was a 3.5-hour film.
Yeah.
Like John Hughes, when he directed it, knew that he got something special with John Candy and Steve Martin. Mm. And he just said to Steve Martin, I'm just going to let the camera roll. Mm. So some days there was no script.
No.
Some days it was just him and Steve Martin in an airport working
having
stuff out, having a chat, right? And the problem was is they got to the cut and they just went, we can't put 3.5 hours out.
No.
So their editor is a genius. Because actually when you watch the final film, you can't tell they've removed massive chunks.
No, not
it
at all.
It flows really nicely.
Yeah, of course it
the
does.
The only continuity thing, and we spotted it last night, and this is for a nerd, is towards the end, John Candy has a shiner, which bears no relevance
black eye.
A black eye, which has no relevance to any of the story. And that's because they got in a fight over pizza, which wasn't in the film.
Yeah.
Anyway, it felt the bit at the end.
Some people love that continuity stuff, don't they? Yeah. Like spotting those
spotting
things.
Errors. The bit at the end, I think they're called nerds. The bit at the end, you know, the bit at the end where he goes back to Steve Martin's house.
Yeah,
he takes John Candy in.
I hate that last scene.
Why?
It's so cheesy.
I love it.
No, I hate it.
I cried again.
I know you're fucking pathetic. It's so annoying.
How can you crush my sensitive side like that? You should be like, that's a nice to show that I'm sensitive.
Because you have no emotion about anything else.
Would
the only thing
like
you have emotion about is John Candy. That's the only thing that will make you cry.
What a load of nonsense.
It is. It's pathetic.
I've cried at loads
and she
of
comes
stuff.
Down them stairs with that serious look on her face, like he's been to frigging war. He's just been away with work. Get over it.
He hasn't been away work. He's had a torrid journey.
Well, she didn't know that.
You are so cynical.
And that stupid child with the bowl basin haircut could smack his face for a start.
I tell you what, there's so much cynicism in One So Young, it makes me feel sick. I cannot believe
that
it.
That said, I love that film.
Have I done
but
that?
I hate the ending.
Have I done that to you? Have I done that to you?
What?
Have I turned you?
Yes.
From an angelic, caring flower. Yeah.
You know that scene in Scrooge?
Hard-nosed, evil.
You know that scene in Scrooge when Claire at the end goes, tells
scrape
the children.
Scrape them off, Claire.
Yeah, scrape them off, Claire.
You're Claire?
Yeah, I'm Claire, and you've Scrooged me.
Do you know what?
You Frank Crossed me.
Take the rest of your life. Honestly, outreach project. Yeah. Go and start your little outreach project.
I will.
We've gone niche now.
If people
If people haven't seen these films, you know, I find it really. Can I not just say it gets me, and I don't
know why.
Every time
it's
it gets
pathetic.
Me, it's schmaltzy enough.
No, pathetic.
It's not.
This is a man, and I agree with you on this one, who hates Love Actually. I'm not a fan of Love Actually because it's so nauseatingly cheesy. Mm. It makes me want to kill that plant up there. And
killing plants.
Yeah.
I love it. Can I just say, what an episode of Gardener's World that would be.
Yes.
You with a hammer.
Yeah.
Just going, things that make me annoyed.
I couldn't kill a plant. It would really upset me.
Gemma's
that.
Just took the heads off the marigolds. Yeah. You said Love Actually.
Or, okay, this is a lovely segue into...
No, carry on with the Christmas
I know
films.
You felt guilty about the plant situation last night because you brought them in.
Oh.
So last night, sitting having a lovely...
Where do you do this?
Sitting having a lovely evening. Well, kind of. We were together, so it's as lovely as it can be.
This is not good.
And then I'm stood up doing the ironing while he's sat on his arse having a glass of wine. And all of a sudden he goes, there's too many plants in that corner. So these are plants that people have bought me kindly, these beautiful rose plants, when they've come for dinner over the last couple of months. So I've got these two lovely
Gemma,
rose plants.
If you come
there's too many plants in that corner. And I was like, right. So what I did was I scooped up all the plants and I took them outside. Anyway, went in the utility this morning. They were back in the utility. You'd brought them in, hadn't you? Because you knew you'd been a bellend.
I didn't want to kill plants for the sake of our argument. Do you know what? Let me just deconstruct that.
Yeah.
You made me sound like I was sat on the sofa with a glass of wine watching you iron.
Yeah,
like
you made me iron.
imagine if I'd have said, darling, get iron in, I'm getting a glass of wine.
I had to take my ball and chain off to make a cup
of
tea.
Just sit watching you like that, iron, and get rid of these bloody marigolds.
Yeah. It did make me laugh though yesterday when I've washed your new best white shirt and he said, thanks for drying my shirt for me, because he doesn't like it to go in the dry in case it shrinks. And I was like, no problem. He says, shall I iron it then? And I went, yep. I thought, fuck him, he can iron his own fucking shirt. Love you.
You make me out to be a 1950s husband.
I know. You'd love to be a 1950s husband, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, do you know what? Dear. Can't you remember?
No, but in 1950s, because I make you do stuff. Yeah. I'm not doing it.
No, and you're right.
I do most of the ironing, but I thought, no, if you want your shirt now, you iron it yourself, my love.
Do you know the last time
my mum would have bent over and ironed it for you.
I'm going to say that.
I know, but do you know what I mean? She'd have rolled over.
Can I just say, you know, the last time you called me a 1950s husband, it just reminded me, and I've just laughed inside.
Go on.
You know when you laugh at something, it's when...
Go on.
It's when you said to me, I said, what are we having for tea?
Yeah.
And you went, I'm just going to do some soup and bread.
Yeah.
And I said, we can't. We can't have soup and bread.
You didn't have two meat and veg. Didn't mean two veg, did you?
Two meat and veg.
Yeah. That'd be a funny looking one, wouldn't it?
Two meat and veg.
Two meat and veg on that one.
It looks like one of your plants.
Yeah.
But then I said, no, we can't. And you went, what are you on about? I said, we can't have soup and bread as a meal.
No.
And I said, it's lunch. And you went, it's food. It's all food. Yeah. Why do you have to obsess?
Yeah.
Why are you so bothered about what is on the menu?
Yeah.
And I went, it's just not. And you went, you're such a 1950s husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Soup. You didn't approve of soup, did you?
No.
You want a proper meal.
Yeah. So then I made you.
Yeah.
I stood with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And I watched Gemma peel potatoes like Cinderella. I didn't do any of that.
Of course not.
But the idea of me watching you iron, I wasn't watching you ironing. It was
no, I chose to iron while we watched a film.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is you got very... I think you are autistic. You get so... you've got such terrible OCD about things. You fixate.
The plants thing, right? Mm-hmm. I looked and I was sat in the corner and they were just... I know we're so busy that those plants would stay there. Just dying in the corner.
They're not dying. I've looked after them. They're really
That's why I brought them in, because I'd get frost. But I think the one plant's fine, but a collection of three, it just looked a bit messy.
It didn't.
Right. Anyway, can we just spin back?
Such a knob.
Can we just spin back
anyway,
to the end of that film? Can we just spin back?
We're not still on the film,
are
we?
No, I want to explain to people why films get you in a certain way. Right? It's just that he'd been away. He found out that he didn't really have a wife because she passed away. And then it was that moment where he comes down the stairs, the music builds.
It's awful.
Every time you go, he ruffles his hat and I've lost my shit again.
It's awful. It's such a bad ending.
Really?
Yeah. Cheesy as balls.
Don't you?
Cheesy balls.
It's not cheesy.
It's terrible.
Mm.
Je le déteste.
Well, do you think, you think all Christmas films, and I've thought about this before, have that same theme. And I've talked
Redemption.
About this. Yes.
Yeah.
It's someone that's picked up their life.
Charles Dickens, head of his time.
He was. Mm. So it's the thing of a man is at a certain point. It's normally a man. I don't know why that is. Or a family man is lost his way. He's lost his journey. It's all Scrooge. Mm. It is all Scrooge.
Yeah.
Every Christmas film has Scrooge involved.
Yeah.
So even like Planes, Trains,
uh-huh.
Steve Martin, working away from home, lost perspective, became miserable, met someone else in his life.
Yes.
Not a ghost, but it's another influence.
You're right.
What does he do? Changes his way he is.
You are so correct.
Offers the hands of friendship. Scrooge, ding, Home Alone.
You are very much
home alone.
Right.
Kevin, young child, out, black sheep of the family.
I think you're right about this.
Put up in the loft. His mum and dad.
I think you're onto something.
I think I am. Spills the pizza, left on his own. What happens then? He's on his own. He realises the value of family. He realises that he maybe hasn't been as good as he should have been. And then what happens? His family comes back. He's changed. I mean, he did torture a couple of burglars on the way. Maybe he let out some tension. Mum comes back. They all embrace each other. They realise that family is more important than anything else. Scrooge.
Yeah.
A bit more tenuous, that one.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Thingy. Wonderful Life.
Oh, 100%.
Man at the end of his rope.
Yeah.
Cuts off that thing off the banister.
Yeah.
screams at his children.
Be grateful
angry,
for what
be
you've got.
Be grateful for what you've got. What did he do? He meets an angel who shows him how good his life, how bad things will be without him.
Yeah.
It's all Scrooge.
I know.
Every Christmas film.
Yeah. Thanks for telling us what we already knew,
I don't
Scott.
Think people did know
we
that.
We did. Look, listen to them out there. Listen. I can hear the brew crew saying, we knew that already, Scott, but thanks a lot for telling us what we already know for the last 2 minutes.
You saw someone on the way up to my mum and dad hurl a can out of their car window.
Yeah.
And I've never seen Gemma so angry.
It makes me boil. And blood boil.
You didn't know what to do because you can't flash them.
No.
You can't beep at them.
No.
You can't go, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But in that moment, you wish you were a community support officer.
Yeah.
And your eyes could record footage. Do you ever think that? If you could just spin back and record like a Ring doorbell in your eyeball.
It was
and
awful.
Go, that's the evidence. Send it.
I was so annoyed
prosecute,
about
prosecute,
it.
Prosecute. Like RoboCop.
It's so annoying.
You know what you
Gits.
Could? You could be like a RoboCop.
Gits.
That does low-level things like that.
Mm.
Imagine that. You, as a cyborg, stick with this.
Mm.
In your head, you've got like that recordable thing like RoboCop. So you were driving along. You saw him throw that thing out the window. You went, brain, rewind. Record. Submit as evidence. He gets 6 points.
The thing is,
someone doesn't pick up the dog shit. Brain, record. I love how you're getting letting me get this out of my system.
Yeah, just carry on.
Oh.
But the thing is, when we approached your mum and dad's house, so we were about 30 minutes away from your mum and dad's when I saw the can incident.
The can.
Then, as we approached your mum's house on that bypass, there was a woman with a high vis on and she's collected. There were three massive white bin liners full of rubbish. She'd been litter picking.
I know.
And I just thought that's the full cycle we've seen within half an hour.
Arseholes and
we've
heroes.
We've seen an arsehole in
arseholes
an Audi.
Arseholes and heroes.
Yeah. Arsehole in an Audi chucking it out of his window.
He had to be in an Audi. Sorry, Audi drivers, but you know, come on.
I do
on,
love
you know
Audi
what you
cars
are.
And I wouldn't be an arsehole in an Audi, but it's amazing how it comes together.
Can I tell
isn't
you,
it?
Of all the cars that I'm on the road with, the worst behaviour.
Audi.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I know there's people out there who drive Audis.
Yeah.
And I'm not tying you all with the same brush.
No.
But
it just
I think 95% of you are arsehole.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what it is.
Go on.
I think people in BMWs have had a bad rep for so long,
they've
calmed down a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you're in a Bentley or a Merc,
you're
so wealthy, it doesn't really matter. I think if you're in an Audi, you can be like, you're Stephen, who's in middle management, but working towards director.
Yeah.
So you've got a little bit of chutzpah. You've got a little bit of, I'm entitled to the fast lane. And it brings out some part of the character.
Yeah.
Audi is that weird middle ground of arseholes. And
awful.
I'm sorry to anyone who, obviously I don't mean all Audi drivers, I just mean the ones I've encountered, mainly on the road. And as someone who does 30,000 miles a year, I have to admit, I have seen that. They are top of the charts for shit drivers. Mm. Kia drivers, oh, we don't even get out the slow lane.
Yeah.
We're doing 52 all the way.
It's annoying, isn't it?
And just that roof box slows us down. But yeah, I've seen that, and it was actually. And you give the litter pick as a little beep beep beep.
I did. I honked her to say well done.
You waved. She waved back, didn't she?
She did.
Nice one.
I was really impressed with that lady.
To give you time away like that to clear up the
hedgerows. Absolutely unbelievable.
They're making the world a better place. They are the real heroes of society.
She was.
Do you know what someone should do?
Do you know what someone should do?
A Christmas film about a man who throws a can out of an Audi window.
Get lost.
Right?
Yeah.
Then his life starts to fall apart.
Mm.
And then he ends up at the end being a litter picker.
Yeah.
And
I
it's
like
the
it.
Scrooge redemption.
Yeah.
And the snow comes down. He's in his high-vis. Yeah. And then it just says, you know what? It's all one world.
Yeah.
Every time you go away. See? You'd watch that, wouldn't you?
Take another piece.
And then the pieces. And then he puts. And then he picks up the can. And he looks, Gemma. And he goes, this is the same can I threw out the window.
Mm.
And she goes, yes, because it never biodegrades.
Yeah.
Every time you go Santa comes down. Oh, there's a litter picker. That's what they do in these films. There's a litter picker who looks like Santa.
Yeah.
And you don't know who he is, Santa.
What are you doing them fingers
for? I'm just getting excited.
Right.
And then he sort of says, you know, the detritus of life, the rubbish of life, is there's joy in rubbish.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something in this.
Yeah, there is.
A litter picker's redemption.
Yeah.
What could you call it? Trash to cash.
Pick me up.
Pick me up?
Yeah.
No.
No. Pick of the bunch.
It needs to be a Christmas theme. Come on.
No.
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 Do you know what?
Bin bags and glad rags.
Yeah.
Go on, anyway. It's a nonsense.
Sack of joy.
Sack of joy. That sounds like a naughty yeah. film.
Just to say, last night I went and taught a French class, an adult class.
Yeah.
And it's at the school where I went to school, right? So I went to this.
That is surreal.
It is.
The circle of life.
Now, my German teacher, Mr. Stefan, is still teaching at this school.
That is weird.
So he is the reason. There's two teachers that really, well, there's loads of teachers who inspired me to teach, but two teachers in particular were Mr. Liptrop and Mr. Stefan. So Mr. Stefan was my language teacher, absolutely amazing guy, and still is. He don't bloody age, that bloke. He's unbelievable. And I feel really honoured that I'm teaching at my school. And Mr. Stefan is effectively now my colleague, which is weird.
It's so surreal.
So weird, so weird. And then, as I was coming out of the lesson last night, so about 8:15, walked into the playground, into the car park, and there's Mr. Liptrot. Now, I say Mr. Liptrot, he's called Jeff. I can call him Jeff now, I'm a grown up. And I was like, Jeff, Jeff! And basically, Jeff. The reason why Mr. Liptrot was such an amazing teacher...
Did you still feel that little bit of adrenaline of, I'm calling in Jeff?
I know, it's weird. It is weird. But he is so inspiring as a teacher. He's an English teacher, but he also directed most of the school productions.
Yeah.
So for me, he was never actually my English teacher. He never taught me English. But he was such a big part of my school life. Amazing guy, amazing comedian, because I performed with him loads of times on stage. We did a couple of sketches together. And he was just such an enthusiast, such a champion of kids performing. And he still is. So I think I might be jumping the gun here, but I thought he'd like basically semi-retired out of teaching, but he still goes back to the school and directs and carries out all the rehearsals. So he was there obviously like 8:30 at night.
Incredible passion.
The kids have been rehearsing for Christmas Carol, which was weird as well because I was in the Christmas Carol way back. And it was just, it was so good. We stood talking for about 25 minutes, just reminiscing, talking about, because my brother was always in the school reviews as well, talking about all the old times, the sketches we were in, the dances we did, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, and just talking about teaching as well, because obviously we've got that in common now. And it was just fantastic. And it was just, I can't tell you, it's like, I don't know if any of the listeners are thinking now, particularly of a teacher that inspired them, but it's...
Well, the one I always think of is that Ian Wright documentary.
Oh, God.
Is that where he...
So moving.
His home life was so awful.
Yeah.
And there was that one teacher who
spotted
something and gave him responsibility.
Yeah.
So he would make him take the register give out the milk and put something and then concentrate on his football.
That's
he saw
it.
Something in him.
Yeah.
And he sort of, when he was badly behaved, he stopped him playing football.
Yeah.
He said, you're not allowed to play this week. And and there was that documentary, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Where he was in the stadium.
Yeah, and then he met him again.
He went, hello, Ian.
Oh,
and
God.
He turned around and he was like, I thought you were dead. And it got me.
Oh,
it's getting me thinking about it.
Yeah, I know.
And you just go, if there's a moment in everyone's life, I think, where if you, like a teacher, he pretty much saved his life.
Yeah.
That the teacher taking the time to spot that, to nurture that.
Yeah.
And like, it's not just teaching. I think it's anyone who says something to you.
Yeah.
Someone could say something to you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm just trying to think of it like, someone could say something like, oh my God, you've got a real ability at that. Or you should really concentrate on doing writing jokes.
Yeah.
You've got something about you.
Yeah.
And that one line can set someone on a course to change their whole life.
Absolutely.
Do you not think that's amazing?
It's incredible. And it really
just
does.
Just so like the positive moments they're never celebrated, the teachers.
Well,
that,
I was just going to say that, you know, I am the first person to moan about the bad days I've had as a teacher and, you know, I can grumble with the best of them. But it did really, when I came away from seeing Jeff last night, I just thought, I felt really positive and like buzzed up because...
Well, I have never not had a good experience with the Jeff.
No. And do you know what? I was like, I just felt nothing but love for this guy, you know, because he was such a great person and I owe him so much, really. Yeah. And I felt like, I hope he appreciates how positively he's impacted on so many people. I mean, how amazing is that? And like you're saying, it's a huge responsibility because I think sometimes that is actually my issue with teaching, is that I find it hard sometimes to separate myself from that sort of personal level. Do you know what I mean? Like I get too drawn in. I like can't separate myself to be authoritarian because I can't just shout at kids. I find it hard to do, even if they're really pissing me off and they're being really badly behaved. It's like they're little people that, do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know, I find it really hard. And I think, just to give you an example, last week...
It's almost like they're all little bits of meteorite going through the solar system, and you can have the influence of changing the course of their trajectory.
That's quite an interesting metaphor.
You looked at me going, this is shit.
Where are you going with this? No, but last week we had a student who was suffering really badly with anxiety, and I was asked to take them back to the classroom because we were doing an event and they were finding it a bit overwhelming. And I did, and I chatted to them, and I sort of talked about my own experience with anxiety, talked a bit about, Liv, and I said, you know, my daughter's had, you know, and we just chatted for ages, and just, I think you can almost see the surprise on a student's face when they're like, oh, you're like actually talking to me.
It's like a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah,
it's like your guard's gone down. And they were like,
well, it's not just
this
that.
It's not like the party line. It's not like the...
Well, it's also that they're not always used to having somebody... You know, teachers are very busy people and they don't always have the time to sit and listen or sometimes people can be a bit dismissive, you know, and they don't fully appreciate a young person's standpoint. And I just... You know, I really try to talk to her properly about it. Anyway, didn't really think much of it. And then I got an email from her tutor a couple of days later thanking me. So obviously she'd said, this teacher talked to me and was, you know, and she sort of said, thank you so much for taking the time because it did help. And then that same student popped their head around my door the other day and thanked me again. They said, thank you so much for listening to me the other day. And that really got me. It really impacted on me because I didn't think that much of it at the time, but it makes you realize how, like you're saying, how much you can help or influence a young person by giving them some time to listen to them, to have a bit of empathy. It's just, like you say, it's an incredibly privileged position, actually, a teacher.
It's amazing. Mm. It is absolutely amazing. And I think that's why it's frustrating in a way when the job is difficult or the job is hard. Because
stressful.
You go like, there's it's almost like you're panning for gold and you know there's something there.
Yeah.
And you know that you can really, that there's so much potential.
Yeah.
But so much of it gets wasted.
Yeah.
And that's what's the battle of the job, I think.
Well, that's like when I said to one of my colleagues, like, you know, try to teach French to some of the groups, some of these kids, like, French is so way down on the agenda in terms of their life. Like they've got a lot going on at home. They might have really bad behavioural issues and stuff. And so for me...
Yeah, if you're living in an house that's drafty and a mum and a dad who are rowing, you've got nothing to eat, you're not going to think, oh, je voudrais un jambon.
Yeah, exactly.
I really want to work on my present tense.
Yeah,
it's not really a priority.
You are being met with that kind of, you know, it just feels like...
Irrelevant.
You feel very irrelevant. And actually, what's happened in the education system is because as teachers, we have the pressures to meet targets and, you know, predicted grades don't necessarily take into account what this kid's got going on at home or in their life. So you've still got to try and meet those targets, which overshadows what choices you would make as a teacher based on that individual's needs.
Yeah.
And so therefore, what I would like to do with some of these kids is actually step back a little bit, because I remember when I started teaching, I could tailor my curriculum or my syllabus to match the class. So if I had a particularly challenging class, I'd perhaps adapt it so that it was more accessible, what we wanted them to achieve might be slightly, it would still be worthy of yeah. their time, but it would be slightly different to perhaps other classes. And you could make it so that it wasn't a negative experience, because unfortunately what happens is you don't have the time to sort of build rapport with these kids because you're too busy trying to get something out of them that perhaps isn't achievable. And that's not to say that, that's not saying these kids aren't worthy of an education. That's not at all what we're saying. It's just that I think you have to adapt depending on those individuals. And I think the current curriculum or the education system restricts that.
Yeah, agreed. I think a lot of teachers do impact on your life. And I think you end up sort of subconsciously taking on board what they've said. And yes. it can change a life, couldn't it? I wonder what's going to happen with our kids. I wonder if they've had a particular moment already with a teacher where they've gone, that's made me want to do that. Inspired me to do yeah. this. Or maybe they just...
I hope it has.
I don't know.
I hope it has.
I mean, it's inspired Sophia to want to go and live in Manchester with a sausage dog. I don't know Absolutely. Where that came from. But yeah, it's a very valuable job, Gemma.
It is.
Well done.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
Oh,
yes. This week I had a moment where I forgot how to spell a word.
Oh, dear.
And I felt really... annoyed with myself.
Is it the same? Can I just tell you, I get the same sort of words
okay.
that I really struggle to spell. Necessary, yeah. Just like a blank.
No, I find that easy. But this one, I knew I wasn't spelling it right.
Separate.
But you know when I put it into my phone, waiting for the prompt to come to remind me how to spell it?
That's where we are now.
Help me, yeah, Google.
But I wasn't even spelling it with the right beginning of the word. So right. I was like, how can I be getting this so wrong? And do you know what the word was? Indictment.
Ooh, it's a C in there, isn't there, where there shouldn't be?
No.
There is?
Yeah, but that's not the main bit.
Right.
I was putting in E-N at the start.
You idiot. Indictment.
No. Indictment. You say indictment.
Yeah, but it's I-N.
Yeah, I-N-D-I-C.
Oh, it's a mad language.
T-M-E-N-T.
How do you teach
Indictment.
This? How do you teach this
Indictment.
To people?
So I was...
People learn
English.
I was English.
Annoyed that I didn't know it.
People learning English have got well within the rights to turn around and go,
not
this
doing
is,
it.
This is
not
stupidity.
Having it. Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
No.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm going to go and knock on Oxford's door.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Big door for Oxford.
Excuse me. What's this? Indictment.
You idiot.
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, I was asked to speak at the Oxford Union.
I know.
I couldn't do it because I was on tour, but I'm going to do it next year. I got to stand in a tuxedo and argue a point in the... in the Great Hall.
Mm.
Can you imagine?
You love saying cloisters. You call everything the cloisters.
Cloisters a lot. I like the word.
Why?
It's just a nice word.
Yeah.
Cloister. Do you like it? It's nice.
It is, but why do you think everywhere's in a cloister?
I just wish it was. But yeah, can you imagine me in that Great Hall debating?
Oh, here he is on his soapbox.
Yeah.
Just think to yourself. It's Christmas Day.
It's Uncle
You've
Scott.
You've got your family all around you and you're boring them with your opinions.
Why do you want to do it on Christmas Day, Scott? Because no one listens to me at Christmas Day. Mm. I'd like a little fireplace. I'd like to stand there and I'd like to sort of have my hands in the Mick Jagger position and I'm going to pontificate.
Mm.
I've got a bit of a gig report.
Go on then, let's have it.
So.
Gig report. Go on then.
That's really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Couple of little gigs, not going to wang on about them, but I did a gig at the Tyne Theatre in Newcastle.
And Saz and Steve went to see you.
So I had people in who saw me, said it was very good. I only had 15 minutes, came on through some smoke, through some curtains, which looked like a vagina. They were parted. They were like lips, lady lips.
It looks like a snatch.
And I said, I've come through some smoky lady lips. And no one got the reference.
No, right, okay.
So it just looked weird.
Yeah.
But then I rescued it with my thoughts.
Yeah.
You've got thoughts. And now I have thoughts.
Yes.
Gemma's thoughts.
Yeah.
If you watched, listened last week, Scott's thoughts. And then because it was like a time theatre, it was like a special, everyone did 15 minutes. It was a really
nice
good
theatre.
Night. Beautiful theatre. The green room food was excellent. Thank you to Fingers and Fringe.
I do love
they
that.
Said the words I want to hear. They said to me before the gig started, a couple of days, have you got any dietary requirements? Because we're going to Costco.
Oh.
I said, no, I haven't. Do you go to Costco?
Hit me.
They had those trays of the cookies. You know the Costco cookies?
I know the cookies.
There were so many.
Did they have any of the shortbread?
Shortbread, everything. And then he said to me...
Was it all sweet or did they have any sangers?
It was all sweet. They had, no, it's just nibble bits.
Okay.
Then he said to me, he said, this is a massive tray of cookies. You've got kids, haven't you? And I thought, I know where this is going.
Take some for home.
So he gave me them, but they were like in a nappy bag, bin bag. So it looked like I was taking my own shit home.
Mm.
There was a couple of brownies.
It's not very appetizing.
And can I just tell you the truth?
Go on.
There were 6 cookies in there.
How many made it to our house?
2.
Oh,
and
interesting.
And I feel guilty. As I was driving along... Do you know what my brain says? I was driving along and they were on the passenger seat.
Yeah.
I could smell them.
Should have put them in the boot.
I should have put them in the boot. I could smell these cookies.
Yeah.
And they were that sort
eat
of...
Me,
you know, the chewy
yeah.
but crunchy,
yeah.
the perfect.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And as I was driving, I looked down and I thought, there's a couple broken in
yeah.
the bag there.
Yeah.
I can't bring broken.
Just eat them.
Because to my mind, you know what I'm thinking? I'm like I am the factory quality
yeah.
controller.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I can't bring a broken
no.
cookie back
no.
for my children.
No.
I failed as a yeah. father. So I thought.
What do they call it when you have a factory second.
No,
when you buy a box of.
Broken biscuits.
What do they call it?
I don't know.
Broken biscuits?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for stopping the flow
Sorry.
There with nonsense.
Sorry.
So I ate the one that was broken and then I was driving along. I had a coffee in that.
Yeah.
And I thought,
eat another one.
And then I looked down, there was one that had just a little corner took off.
So you thought,
that's
let's
a
do
defect.
It. Yeah. Defect.
That went
that's in.
And then the last two, I just smashed them with
yeah,
my hand. I thought, they're broken.
Well.
And I took two and I put them in the thing for Liv. And then I knew that Liv snaffled what, before she even went to school, she sort of goes,
yeah.
There's a highly calorific snack hidden
yeah.
in those cupboards.
The thing is, you kindly. Bought home for me a Bounty duo that a kind listener had sent for me.
It was Becky Clutton.
Was it?
I did her works thing on
Tewkesbury. Thank you.
And it was
so
really
much.
Good. And she won't mind me talking about this. They do get drunk. And I think there was like a scrap this year or
no.
something. Last year there was someone, someone had pooed in a laundry basket.
Get lost.
It sounds like a bad day in Falaraki, those guys.
Does.
So I don't know what they're doing, but it sounds magical.
Well,
but she brought you a Bounty. And
I was so grateful.
Do you know
what I was going to say is it's a bit like the cookies. So I immediately...
Have you eaten it?
What do you mean? I ate it within about 2 seconds of you giving it me. So you put it in the fridge. That's another conversation we'll have in a minute. I was like, why has he put it in the fridge? So I went and ate half of the duo, put the other half back in the fridge. Do you know how much time do you think elapsed before I went back for the second half of the duo?
Oh, God. So your willpower is just as bad as mine. I would say you did a lap of the island. You did a lap, right? And then you could hear the fridge going, why you left this in here?
I did a token lap of the island.
2 minutes.
No, less. I'd say sub 30 seconds.
That is ridiculous. It's
went
not
back,
even worth
went
closing
back for
the
other
door.
Half. I'm just like, why are you even pretending that you're not going to eat the other half?
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
It is.
Can I just tell you though, coconut got stuck in my hole. I did have to toothpick
after
that. Can
I just say though, coconut's not a bad thing to have stuck in your tooth.
No.
It's the right colour.
Well, absolutely.
It's like a sweet
like a
filling.
Yeah.
Little cheap filling.
Yeah, a little cheap filling.
Get on deck. Can
Should
you not fill
it,
that yourself?
No.
Oh.
No, it's too far back.
Too far back, I can't.
But yeah, so...
So I was going to say is I think...
I really, really enjoyed my Bounty.
You enjoyed it,
and
thank
Saz and
you.
Steve said they like a Bouncer.
They've fallen out of favour.
I don't know who's not liking them, because everybody I've spoken to likes the Bouncer.
Do you know what Becky gave me?
Go on.
Some Gaviscon.
Good.
Tablets.
She's good.
They're bloody good.
She is good.
She said to me, because I sat and had a meal with them, it was very nice. Thank you for having me again, Becky. I don't know what I'm going to do next year because I've done every bloody joke I've got there.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said to me, it is a problem. When you hit above 40, the acid is like a part of me now.
Yeah.
It's like a friend.
It
if
is.
I don't have it, I go,
well, it's hardly a friend.
No, but it's like it's become like part of my body, like part of the regime. I have a dinner. I had a glass of wine last night. Can I just tell you how much Gaviscon I used to have after it? It was brutal. I'm going to have to have something after this. But it was very good. So, yeah, you got your little bounty, didn't you?
I loved it. So enjoyed that. Thank you so, sure much. Thank you so much, love.
The other gig I did, and this is not what happened at the gig, what happened around the gig.
Go on.
Is a place called Little Chalfont.
The Clue?
Chalfont.
Okay.
It's in Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
Near Amersham. Very wealthy
area. Stop touching
area.
Your nose.
It's twitching. Wealthy area, right? Very nice. Sort of in between Watford and London.
Yeah.
Nice. And my ways. What are you looking? What are you sneaking?
I'm listening.
You creeping in?
No.
All right. You took a real close look at me then.
No.
Oh. Ways sometimes send you on a wild goose check.
Gucci chase.
Yeah. A wild Gucci chase.
Where's the Gucci?
A wild Versace chase. Yeah, and I was driving along and then for some reason it just went left. And you don't think, and I set off left. And you know when you're in the car and as the road narrows, you go, oh, shit. And you realise you're in a mad little one track, only built for horses, country road.
Mm.
And you've got no way of...
Turning round,
and you're like, I'm in this now. And all you've got to do is try and hammer it to get to the main road again. I was driving, and I could see it going half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And I'm like, right, just keep going. It was pitch black. There was like dead roadkill. I thought, I don't know what this is. I'm going over cattle grids.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know if this is right. And I get to the end, and it's about 1,000 feet from the junction, and another car comes. And I'm like, right. What is going to happen here?
Yeah.
There's no passing place.
Yeah.
So I stood there like that, and it was like a Bentley. It was a posh car.
Yeah.
And I tried to communicate a shrug through my car.
Yeah.
You can't communicate a shrug.
No.
So I flashed my lights. He flashed his lights.
Oh, you had a flash off.
So I think he's going. It was almost like I was going, move back. He went, mate me. It's like it's literally come on, dickhead.
Yeah.
So then he was like, flashed his lights again. If lights could talk, he'd have gone, what's happening? And I'm going, what's happening? So then I put my hand out the window and went, you're going to have to go back.
Yeah.
He can't see my hand. It's pitch black. Right. So I'm flashing my lights and going like this. And then he's going, flashing his lights.
Did he put his hand out the window though?
No, he didn't.
He didn't match you on that.
He didn't match me hand out the window.
Okay.
So then I sort of...
Did he put his leg out the petrol pump?
He put his head out the sunroom. He put his ass out the window. He put his ass out the boot. Put his ass out the boot. I was like, I got you, mate.
You put your left leg out, your right arm in.
Your ass out the sunroof and your leg in the bin. You get your glove box open and your balls out. That's what it's all about. Oh, just reverse your bell end. Oh, just reverse your bell end.
Yeah.
I've nowhere to go. There's walls on either side. Just reverse, you selfish prick.
Yeah.
And I got out the car.
Did you?
And I went up to the windscreen and he didn't get out of the car. I went, you're going to have to go back. I can't. I tried to go back, but he was literally like Postman Pat.
Yeah.
So then this was unbelievable. We set off. He's going backwards.
Yeah.
I'm going forwards.
Right.
He's the slot. This car was brand new.
Yeah.
And it was like a Bentley. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And there was no space.
No.
So I'm looking at the watch going, I can't speed him up.
No.
So he's just going, and he's staring dead ahead at me.
Right.
Pissed off.
Yeah.
And I had to watch him reverse all the way to this junction.
Mm.
It took ages, like 20 minutes. It was so awkward.
20 minutes?
Well, no. I'm exaggerating.
I was going to say, that's an
about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah, because it was 1,000 foot, but he was going at like trickle pace because he didn't want to scratch his
car. That's ridiculous.
So then I get to the end and I pass him and I went, thank you. He didn't even acknowledge me.
He was so angry.
So angry. But there's got to be a better system.
I'd have given him a cookie for that.
What? One of my broken biscuits? Yeah. There you go, pal.
Or did you not have one at that
point? Wind your window down. I'll just get these out of this nappy bag.
Yeah.
Do you want a broken one?
Would you like a broken nappy bag biscuit?
Do you want a nappy bag biscuit? You can still smell. There's a bit of floral scent on them. I tell you what, because you're in a Bentley, you can have a nappy bag brownie.
Yeah, that's it.
You're a big boy, have a brownie. Yeah. But it was that sort of, the anxiety.
Mm.
And I've never, can I tell you the last time I felt that anxiety?
Go on.
It was when my dad, I was on holiday with mum and dad when I was a kid. Yeah. We were in Devon. My dad was in pulling the caravan.
And you got stuck.
And he just went down this road.
And you knew it wasn't happening.
And I could feel the tension.
Yeah.
Because my mum, even my mum was like talking, going, it's going to be a lovely holiday. It's going to be wonderful. Isn't it really nice and quaint round here? And he turned this corner and set off down this road and she went, it's so... Oh.
Yeah, and she went quiet.
And it's almost like they know. My dad knew.
It was a bad move.
And he knew he had nowhere to go.
That's probably a reason enough for me to never go to Cornwall ever again.
What, in a caravan?
Well, just even in a car. It can be so hairy on them roads.
And then people who live there drive round the corner at 70. They don't give a shit. There's no speed limits. You can't plough into a hairpin bend at 60.
No.
Where am
There's
I going to
no
go?
No visibility either.
Nothing.
It is hairy, isn't it?
It's a proper bum twitchy moment. Yeah. So there you go.
Hairy, scary on your Mary. Saz and Steve said they've been having anxiety because they're getting behind on the pod. And I feel guilty because I feel like we're throwing too much at them with the Patreon episode.
What?
They're getting anxious about getting
behind. We can't build our schedule around people's listening habits.
No, I know, but I just want to reassure them that don't worry, okay?
It's fine.
It doesn't matter about being behind, okay? Just think of it as you've got some in the bank to listen to. It's better to have too much to listen to than to be like sitting there tapping your fingers waiting for the next one.
I'd rather give
so
them
I'm
a back.
So I'm glad you've got an abundance of us in your ear holes.
I'm glad we've given them. But the thing is, though, sometimes we talk about topical stuff, so they might be like years behind at
Don't
one
matter.
Point. And then the
doesn't
Berlin,
matter.
The Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just... I don't want to add to people's anxiety.
So they were on the chocolate in the fridge split, by the way. That's what you were going to talk about.
Yeah, well, Steve likes, he's like me. He likes room temp. I like it to be warm. Well, not warm, but just not cold. Yeah. And you love it cold, don't you?
I think the warming comes from your mouth and a cup of tea.
No, because for me, it takes too long to warm it up when it's... I mean, yeah, if you've got the tea to do it, that's fine. But if you just want it in your mouth... Oh, God. I've done it again, haven't I?
This is ridiculous. Sometimes I think your brain just goes there.
Oh, anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatevs. But yeah, I'm fully on board for room temperature.
No, it's always got to be.
Chocolada, yeah, chocolada, yeah.
Someone we know has gone on jury service.
Yeah.
Have you ever done it?
No.
No.
You?
No. I think it's weird. I've known loads of people who've done it.
We might get called up.
But then you can't say no, can you? Can you say no?
I think you can defer it.
Can you? You're not allowed to talk about the case either, are you?
You might be able to defer it.
So you're not allowed to talk about the case. You can't come home and go, I tell you, I've got a murder. I've got a bloody murder I'm sitting in on.
I'm not sure what the rules are. I don't know how they'd know that you've not talked about it.
Can I just say?
That you,
yeah. Can I just say?
Go on.
I think... You would be the worst person to be on jury service.
Why?
Because you'd fall asleep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because I'm a blabber mouth.
Can you imagine you in court? You struggle to get through a podcast. Can you imagine you sat there in a warm courtroom, yeah?
But I kind
All
of
day
think...
for 2 hours going, and the jury, have you come to a verdict in which you all agreed? Yes, this one is asleep.
But do you know what, though?
This one has been nodding all day like this.
Do you know what, though? Tough titties. If I fell asleep, I fell asleep.
But then it means your evidence wouldn't, your verdict wouldn't be submissible. Because you've slept through the evidence.
Nah.
Surely they can't go, well, we'd like to take your evidence. Because you'd be like, well, I don't know. I don't know what ever happened. Not guilty. Imagine if you were the one just.
Surely somebody would come along and prod you, wouldn't they, if you fell asleep?
What? The barrister just slapping you around the head every
well,
now
no,
and then.
The... Clerk of the court, just oi,
are you?
I go,
you come here.
No,
you.
I put my hand up and go, can you just repeat that last bit? I nodded off.
Which bit? The last 2 hours?
No, just that last gambit. Then
imagine that you saying to everyone, yeah. Did he done it?
Mm.
Did he do it?
Mm.
I don't know what he did.
Yeah,
don't know why I'm here.
Mm.
I think you would struggle.
Yeah,
you'd have to declare that. You'd have to say.
I fell asleep.
I can't. I'm not going to make it through this court. Because they're not exactly exciting, are they?
I'd just do rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, you know, guilty or innocent.
Oh, I'm glad that's...
Yeah, go on, do it now.
A childish
right.
game
Let's
in your
say,
hand.
Let's say, if I win...
A male
We'll do a rock, paper, scissors
A woman
now.
Or man's life, a yeah. whole life
if
in your
I
hands.
If I win, they're innocent. If you win, they're guilty.
This is shit.
You ready?
We don't
go.
Even know who they are.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Ooh.
Two scissors.
Yeah, go again.
Why are we doing this? It's irrelevant.
Go again. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. What are the chances of that? We've done rocks.
This is so again. This doesn't mean no, anything. One more. This is a fantasy in your head. One more. Why are we doing this?
One more.
It's pointless.
One more. Rock.
Paper.
Why are we doing this?
Yeah. Right, this fourth one will be the decider.
This is someone's life.
Because we don't know which one we're going to go for.
He's shitting himself in that dock. He's shaking.
Are you ready? Go.
We can't.
Rock. You've won his guilty.
Paper wraps rock.
That, can I just say, that was the most stupid waste of time.
Why did I go with it?
You didn't want to do it, but then you just do it.
I went with it. Okay,
let's do another
one. We're doing...
Right?
None of these are real.
If you win, I buy you a Christmas present. If I win, I don't. Ready?
Gemma, I don't want to do it. We can't do rock, paper, scissors.
We need to stop this now.
You won, I've got to buy you a Christmas present.
We have just decided a fake person's guilt on a court case that doesn't exist.
Yeah, the second one was real, though. I will buy you a Christmas present now.
I don't want
you to
buy me anything.
Because the rock said so. The rock says so. The rock blunted the scissors.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so if you're out there and you're struggling to decide something, I do recommend rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
It's very good.
Now, you know, I go to the village gym.
What?
Why did you do that? You just stopped talking and did a funny noise with your mouth.
And that means I go to the gym.
Yeah, and?
I saw this post.
Surely isn't the only thing. This next section is called What I Do.
I go to the village gym.
You've got Gemma's thoughts. I've got what I
Thank
do.
Thank you for that, Scott.
That's my new stand-up. What I Do.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. Guess what I do? I go to the gym.
It's a good way in.
Carry on.
And on the Village Life Facebook group,
yeah,
someone's put, the gym has been infiltrated by influencers.
Right.
This is happening at a lot of gyms, apparently.
Okay.
So they're going in there.
Yeah.
They literally don't do a full workout.
Right.
They do a couple of bits.
Yeah.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
And they go, hi, and they do a little video. Yeah. And then they piss off again.
Yeah.
But they're now doing it in like spin classes. And
right.
So they're turning up for like 3 minutes.
Right.
Doing a little video and then pissing off again.
What? But what does that matter to the gym?
Well, it's weird, isn't it? It's not polite. It's odd.
I mean...
You've not got an opinion, have you?
Well...
I thought you'd have an opinion.
I mean, red card them then. Black book them. Blacklist them, I mean.
Black book them. I think people...
Red card them, book them. Red, blacklist them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got all my idioms mixed up.
But the thing is, though, people don't want to be in the background of their videos, and they are in the background. I think people
are getting... rightfully so.
Yeah. Don't you think it's a weird world, that, though, where you go in... It's all a bit fake, isn't it?
The whole world's weird. The world is weird. The sooner you realise that, the sooner you're going to know the world is weird. The world's weird, though. The world is weird.
Do you not think they're living this...
Do you not think?
No, it's like a twisted reality. That their real life now is just a...
fake.
Well, yeah, it's
set
just
up.
It's just a way to amplify their fake life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of switched the other
it's
way.
It's been like that for a while, though, darling.
No, but that's sort of... I was quite shocked that that's happening across...
What, the lengths they'll go to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you'll turn up in a spin class, you'll go, okay, let's go going.
Look at me, working
and
out.
And then they go, hi, guys, yeah, I'm at the spin class. Yeah, good.
Yeah, no,
have a great day, keep working. Achieve your goals, yeah? Right, that's that done.
Yeah, it's weird.
I find that...
It's odd.
It's like people are living in a weird reality. Two lives, parallel lives.
Yeah.
What is happening? When will that end?
I don't know, but I would love to trim your eyebrows.
I knew you weren't listening.
No, I. Well, first of all, I genuinely would like to trim your eyebrows. They are really bushy.
Thank you.
Second of all, I don't know what you do about it. It's been like that for a while, love. I don't subscribe to it, you see.
No.
I partially subscribe to it. That's not true. Mm. I can't say I'm immune to being sucked in on Instagram sometimes.
I think what's happening...
But we know it's... We know it's a suspended reality.
I think what's happening is people are so... now their personalities are so ingrained with validation and with having to have followers and have moments. They've stopped having a real life. Yeah. They've stopped just living for living.
The thing is...
It has to be living for something.
But what I would say
is... Do you understand? It has to be a currency.
What I would say, though, is that we know, even just from our little whatever we do here... That to maintain social media, we only do a little bit really, but it takes masses of time. Like I'm not prepared to give all my life over to doing that. So we do a limited amount on social media. I try and do as much as I can to stay in touch with our listeners. And I when I do it, I genuinely want to do it to say, guys, we're here.
Yeah, community.
We are. You know, we're doing this because we enjoy doing it and we're saying hello. Yeah. And then they know that you're on it. But aside from that, it just takes up too much of your life. So these people who've got this constant feed onto their socials, it must just be a full-time job.
It must
be
exhausting.
It's a full-time job.
And you can't stop.
No.
So the
it's never enough.
They are...
It's never enough.
This is what I'm saying is that they're... Online life is becoming bigger than their real life.
Yeah.
And their real life is just there to prop up the online life. And I find that is terrifying.
It's
weird. That is the first time that's ever happened historically. We've never seen anything like this.
What do you mean?
Well, no one's ever had. You live your life. Your life is what's in front of you. So it's your family, it's your job, it's your hobbies. That it's been simple. Now there's two. There's two worlds. So people are using the real world to prop up this fake world. And the reason why the fake world's more attractive is because it's easier in a way, because you don't have real life relationships. It's just all validation and how amazing I am. And you can pick and choose the perception people have of you. Well, you don't get that in the real world. The real world is grittier. It's got warts and all. It's got your wife telling you that your eyebrows are shit. It's got your husband drinking a glass of wine watching you iron. There's problems. Yeah. Whereas the online world is everything you want it to be. And it's a psychosis. And I don't know what's happening. And when I heard that, when I thought there's people across the country going to these classes, filming themselves and leaving, what is happening? It's mad. It's mad, mate. It's not normal. So the guy called Corey Mascara reminded me, whenever I saw your hoods and your mascara, it reminded me of him. This guy, right, he meditated for 15 hours a day for 6 months straight. He was one of the toughest Buddhist monks on the planet, right? That's him there with the Buddhist monk, this guy.
Yeah, I can see him.
So... He's done a thread about everything he learned. And I'm not going to read it all because it's massive, right? But he put a few pointers up there. A sign of growth is about personality, right? A sign of growth is having more tolerance for discomfort but having less tolerance for bullshit. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think your life, as you get older in life, having less tolerance for bullshit is one of the secrets to being happy?
Yeah, definitely.
That takes some doing though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
But I think as you get older...
and like, discomfort comes from saying no.
Yeah, that is all about saying no, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all about potentially letting people down for your own self-worth.
Just being true to yourself. Yeah. Being true to what you want to do instead of people-pleasing or doing what you think you should do.
Yeah, I like the idea. That's one of the ideas.
And that's not always, by the way, because sometimes you should do what you think you should do. Do you know what I mean?
Right. To like, make someone happy.
You think this would be the right thing to do, and it probably will be. But what I mean is it doesn't always follow that you should do something just to please somebody.
Yeah.
Because if it makes you really unhappy, then it's not right.
In a job like when you perform and stuff, sometimes when you start out in the early days, people exploit you a bit. And I think you never want to let them down. But then what you have to do is you have to step back and think.
No, it's not that.
Oh.
You're lying there. It's not about letting them down. It's because you daren't
be perceived.
Have the possibility of shutting down an opportunity.
Oh. Well, that's true. Mm. That's because in this job, you never know. Is an opportunity isn't revealed as an opportunity until you're in it.
Yeah,
and that's what's the problem. Mm. But I quite like the idea of when you get older, you do sort of, you have that, like your mum's always been great at that. Not doing that. No, not going to do that. No.
She might not have always been good at that, but yeah, she is better at it now.
And that's one of the things, like when you get older, I think your friendship circle comes down to it's not even a circle, it's like a triangle. Mm. It's like a line, isn't it? Mm. You sort of just go, no, can't be arsed with that, can't be arsed with that. And I think that's the freedom, isn't it? Mm. Which is what he's saying there. Who you are is not your fault, but it is your responsibility.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do them all because it's 50.
Because we've always said that, haven't we? That you know, we've always said that your life and what happens in your life can be a reason why you are the way you are.
Yeah.
But as a grown adult, a grown thinking adult, with a certain level of self-awareness, it's not an excuse for bad behaviour.
And I would say that is why if you had an experience as a parent that you've passed on to your kids, you can break the chain because you cannot blame your childhood for your failings as a parent.
No.
You have, at a certain point, you have to take responsibility and
for
say,
your behaviour.
I understand and I recognise it and I need to move on.
Yeah.
What you hate most in others is usually what you hate most in yourself.
Yeah, agree. Agree. Well, that comes from the saying, it takes one to know one, doesn't it? Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, if you're with someone, like if I'm with someone who's a panicking Skywalker, it annoys me more because I think, oh God, I'm like that.
Well, no, but on that, in that moment, you probably don't even think that.
Yeah.
You don't even think I'm like that.
What do you mean?
Like something might annoy you, but that comes back to the being able to break the chain in yourself, doesn't it? Mm. You have to recognise, actually, I'm like that and I need to change that because I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it being done to me, so why am I doing it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's amazing, isn't it?
So
these are really good things. The biggest life hack is to become your own best friend. Everything is easier when you do so.
Yeah, like yourself first before you can like anybody else, and that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if there's something you're not happy about in yourself, it starts with yourself. It starts with you before you can help others, I think.
Yeah.
Charity starts at home.
The final one here, I think there's so many here. This is the one that I quite liked. Peak experiences are fun, but you will always have to come back. Learning to appreciate the ordinary moments in life is the key to having a fulfilling life.
Yeah. And that's, your dad always says that.
It's clever.
Because our kids are always like, even when we've been to Bridlington, I don't want it to end. And your dad always says,
are you classing Bridlington as a peak experience?
Yep, absolutely. And I'm classing your dad as a bit of a Buddha.
Really?
Yeah, because
my dad is a little. A guru. I can imagine him painted gold, sat on
a bit of a Dalai Lama, but he's
The Dalai Lama sat on that, sat behind the windbreak with a cornetto. Yeah,
cornetto in one hand.
He's a wise man.
Plate of chips in the other.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's like you have holidays have to come to an end, otherwise they wouldn't be special.
Yeah,
and it's like, you have to be grateful and enjoy just the. And I do take such pleasure in normal stuff. Yeah. And I think when you've had any kind of adversity in life, I'm going to put normal in inverted commas in the air. Normality, peace of mind is so underrated.
Yeah.
Just to be able to sit still and not have your mind racing and thinking of terrible things.
Yeah.
Is gold.
Well, I think what they were sort of referring to as well is those like peak experiences. So like if you do something like really extreme, like I suppose from my point of view, if I went out and played to 2,500 people, that is an experience, that was considered probably a peak experience, like that moment. But then some days then I just think, well, I want to counter that by just sitting on the sofa and watching some Sky Plus. There's a joy, or just walking into town and getting a coffee.
It's also about materialism. Like, you know, I want a really nice new outfit, or actually just put your old jeans on, the coat you've had for years, yeah, just like take a moment to just be able to sit still with a cup of tea and read. And
my mum always used to do that. My mum used to do, so I used to say to her, oh, I'm really stressed, mum. You've still got your legs.
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
That's it.
You've still got, and I always thought, why is she focusing on the legs?
I don't know.
I mean, it's true. But it used to, it didn't bring me that much comfort.
No.
To go, no. I know I've got my legs.
It's relative.
It's a weird thing to focus the energy on.
Yeah.
But I think what she was saying is, it is true.
What would she say to somebody who hasn't got legs? Like an amputee or somebody?
She wouldn't speak to him then. I think she'd just go, okay.
Would she move it to you've got your arms?
You've got your arms. It's not limb based.
No.
I think what the
happiness
point,
is nothing to do
I think she was
with.
Sort of saying, look at the simple things you've got. Yeah. It's the same mantra as that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's a really powerful one, that one, is that everything can be extreme, but actually what you actually want is the stuff that's... Look what happened in the pandemic, right?
Mm.
Everyone started appreciating walking and the environment and trees and birdsong because we've ignored it. And that's the simple,
centred
thing.
But also,
centered
what's
things.
Interesting is we were all desperate to get back to the other stuff.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, because life hasn't... We haven't continued to live like the pandemic, have we? We
should do.
Some things have remained, but most of us have slipped back.
And I said this, the world has an agenda, without sounding like David Icke, to keep us in that old
normal.
In the rat race, in the consumerist mass, earn, push yourself, mortgage, stretch yourself, stress, work, push, get the money through the economy. That is what, it's not as... The world isn't interested in our mindfulness.
No.
The fact that mobile phone companies sell mindfulness apps to solve some of the problems they're helping to create.
The irony is palpable.
Yeah, it is. The drug dealer is selling us the antidote. Oh!
Mic drop! Boom!
But that's what it's saying. I urge you to read that thread, Gemma.
I will. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
There's 50 ways to live your life.
Thanks.
And what I'm trying to say to you is I'm going to meditate for 15 hours a day with a Buddhist monk. I'm moving him in next week. He's sleeping in the
spare room. Could you not move out? That would be much better.
Imagine that. You can have him this year. He's gone to his retreat again.
Mm.
Come back all zen-like. I can't meditate.
He's having Uncle Scott this year. It's all right. He's moved in with the monk.
The problem is... It's a nice idea, but I can't meditate 15 hours a day because I get interrupted by a six-year-old asking me to wipe her ass. So it's quite hard to have that concentration.
It's funny you should say that because I'm the one who generally does the wiping round here.
Mummy, I've done something.
Mm.
We get I've done something, don't we?
Anyway.
But yeah, it's very, very interesting. I would pick that up on
that. I hate
that.
The way you end a segment like that. You should have just... Good.
I'll tell you, before we move on any further, I've ordered some security cameras for the house.
Yeah.
Some CCTV for the Ring system.
Yeah.
And I think what the problem is now is the Ring doorbell is already giving me anxiety.
I can give evidence of this. We set off for Yorkshire yesterday morning as a family. About 30 metres up the road, he says,
I've put the house alarm on for the first time since we had the extension and I'm a bit worried it's going to go off.
Then there was a phone call. Somebody had got a missed phone call. Oh God, is it the neighbours ringing? The alarm's going off. He was already panicking that we'd only reached Co-op by that point. Mm. Then it's like you spent about 2 minutes of the journey talking through the Ring doorbell and going, I can hear voices.
No, it wasn't.
It was the neighbours across the road on their driveway. And he goes, isn't it amazing how the microphone picks up voices? Yes, it's a microphone, you absolute douchebag.
I wasn't talking through it.
Yeah, you were listening. You were like,
hello, I can hear voices. There's somebody over the fence.
It's not even like it was the middle of the night. It was the daytime and the neighbours were just doing the bins.
It's incredible, the conversations. You can listen through that door, but it's like a portal. Into the. It's like being in a stakeout
I think somebody's burgling the house. And as you listen carefully, it was just like Fred talking to Fiona about bins.
But it's got me really panicked. And I've ordered the Ring, the system, the Ring system. They're good because they go, every now and then I'll get an email going, is your security system adequate? Question mark.
And it's not, is it? I know it's not.
And that literally is like, are you safe, Mr. Bennett? No, you're not. We know you worry about security. Ooh, what? And then they just went, would you like to add to your system? So I've bought two camera modules that I need to put
up. Because within probably 2 minutes of arriving at your mum and dad's house yesterday, I could hear you spaffing out some anecdotes about they've been going up and down the road checking door handles, car handles. It's a crime wave. It's absolutely, it's a nightmare. Everybody's been broken into. Yeah, that's what you were doing.
All night you hear the
you did that, didn't you?
I did that noise. And my dad just stood at me, looking at me going, did I produce this prick?
Your dad was like, if you want me to get as uptight as you about this, I won't. I'm not joining you. I'm not getting on the panic train.
I'm not getting on the anxiety train. Choo-choo! Uh-huh. Can I have a ticket?
Sorry, I'm just cleaning out my old...
A ticket for the trauma train. Choo-choo! Uh-huh. Non-stop to Scott's brain. Mm. The anxiety train.
Awful.
All aboard! But the thing was...
Okay, so back to the cameras.
So then they said on the little thing, they said Black Friday deal...
Do you know it's Cyber Monday today?
Cyber Monday, Black Friday.
Do you know what tomorrow is? What? Tech Tuesday.
Yeah.
Do you know what Wednesday is?
Wank off Wednesday. What is Wednesday? I don't know. What's Wednesday?
That'll do. I was making them up, so I'll have that.
I think it's just when you just
realize. Do you know what Thursday is?
What? You take it. Thursday's when you take
all
the shit back.
No, Thursday's just Thursday. Nothing on Thursday.
Is return.
Do you know what Friday is?
What?
Blacker Friday.
Why?
Because it's blacker than last Friday.
Shut up, Gemma. You're talking nonsense. So, it flashed up on this deal. It says, these are normally such and such a price. Then you see it and you think, oh, God, I can just add to the system. So they're coming. So I'm going to put them up. So now, can you imagine through my phone just how I am going to be watching? I won't even watch
telly
anymore.
I don't want you watching me watching telly.
I'll be watching the doorbell. Then I'll flick to camera one, camera two, camera one, camera two. There's a cat. There's a dog. Oh, look down the garden. Oh, there's leaves. Oh, that's cat shitting under the trampoline.
Yeah.
Turn the microphone on. Move. I'll have more CCTV than Scarface. I'll be like Tony Montana.
Yeah. Where's the CCTV going to be?
It's going to be on the back of the house, the side of the house.
Excellent. Okay.
But then I'm going to literally be watching that. I tell you, someone came the other day. Then they put a. But I just find it. I'm trapped. And then someone would say, if you were like that a Buddhist monk or something, that Buddhist monk, they'd be
You're
like...
You're not very Zen, are you?
No, the actual you putting the cameras in
is making
you feel like there's a need for the camera.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
I do.
The fact that the camera's there is now the need to have... Do you understand what I mean?
Well, do you mean like once it's up...
The necessity of having
it. You can't not have it.
Yeah, and it's almost like...
Because you'd be like, what if I've missed out on something?
Yeah, it's almost like I've,
what if a cat's brushed its bum up against my wheel?
I've made myself more paranoid by having the system that's
you've
trying
fed,
to stop
you've
me
fed
more.
The monster.
Yeah, to try and stop me being paranoid, I've increased the paranoia.
Well, that's...
They're paranoia portals is what they're selling.
That's true of a lot of things.
What do
isn't
you mean?
It? Like, you know, like if... I can't think of an example now. Just give me a second.
It's true of a lot of things that you can't think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, just give me a little second, dear.
This is
just
why,
fill for a minute.
Can I just say?
Just fill
why,
for a minute.
I tell you an idea. Mm. Next time we do a pod recording, here's an idea.
Plan.
Have a little thought. Write it down.
I tell you what.
Little idea. Write it on your little pad.
I tell you what.
Rather than writing on your pad, Christmas card for
Deb. Because I didn't
know
you were going to talk about this, and I didn't know. So this is pure... This is organic, spontaneous chat.
And you
if
approve.
You can't cope with a little bit of thought processing time, then shame on you, young man. Shame on you.
What I would say
because
is...
Because your demands for instantaneous information and thought processing, conversation and reaction is absolutely appalling.
It was a test to see how you would do with improv, and you failed spectacularly.
Well, we know I would.
You're
we
just
knew
stalling
we would.
Now.
We knew I
so
would.
So you said it's like...
Well, actually, when you're interrupting me, I haven't even... You know the thoughts I needed to have?
You've not started on the fucking hell. So we're just delaying it. Have you thought? Do you thought? Do a thought now. Do a thought. And then I'll keep... This is why you should write stuff down.
I needed you to fill while I was thinking.
What am I supposed to fill
I
with?
I can't think and chat.
What do you want me to think? I can't think and chat. Well, how's this going to go then? This is going to be shit, isn't it?
No, but what I meant was...
It's the necessity of buying something makes you do it.
Well, no, what I was saying was, is that sometimes when...
It's getting nowhere. This is why.
Sometimes what happens is
Come on. Tease it out. Come on.
No, it's like you've got a fear of security, so you buy something to counter the security, but it makes the anxiety about the security worse.
Yeah.
So it's almost like when you...
We're ending this point
no,
here.
No, don't. I've got something really good. It's so there. It's just right there. I'm just teasing it out. It's just like, it's like squeezing a spot and it's not, it's about to crown.
Come on.
And right. Oh, there.
It's almost like what?
It's like when you I've got it.
Go on.
It's like when you want to keep fit, you buy a gym membership.
Yeah.
But you still don't go to the gym, but you feel guilty. So you're not only not fit, you've added guilt to the pile.
It's totally not like that.
It is, it is.
That is...
It's like you've bought something to remedy the situation, but it makes it worse.
Yes, you have, yeah.
I've made the point! High five! Thank yes!
God. Only took 25 minutes.
You have been listening to Brew with the Bennetts. Thank you so much for listening. Scott, what are you doing for the rest of the day, my little sausage pot?
I don't know. There's a lot of things building.
I've got shitloads to do. Let me just tell you about my life. I've got to plan my lesson for tonight's adult French class. I have got to do the washing.
You know when you say, can I just say, when you say...
No, don't interrupt. Put stuff in the dryer, put stuff in the washing, change the beds. I've got to clean, ready to put the Christmas decks up. I'm not going to make out that's a chore. I bloody love it. I've got teaching tomorrow, teaching on Wednesday, teaching on Thursday, teaching on Friday. In between that, I'm going out for a Christmas meal. I've got to pull in a fitness class and I've got to take Sophia to gymnastics, swimming and rainbows. How about you?
Christ, I'm never going to compete with that.
No.
I've just got to meditate with a bunk.
Monk. Good.
A bunk, I said.
Yeah, have a bunk out with a monk.
No, what I have got to do is...
sleep in a bunk with a monk.
We've got a bit of decorating to finish.
Yeah, that can be your bag. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, why are you jiggling? Do you need the loo or something?
No, just okay. Like jiggling.
Stop jiggling. That's why I can't relax.
Shut it.
I bet when he meditated...
Don't give me that bullshit.
I bet that monk said, do not have someone
who's vibrating...
You can't
live with anybody more zen than me.
Really?
Yeah, really. Don't even start on this because I will take you down to Chinatown.
You think you're zen-like?
Yeah. Freaking out. Are you kidding me?
Go on, give me an example of your zen-like...
Just the fact that I don't stress about stuff like you do.
Yeah. I've got some Lego to build. That's my meditation. Building Lego. Found that set in the loft, didn't I, from last year? That you got me. A little Fiat Uno.
It's not in the loft.
Well, it's under the stairs. I'm going to be Legoing like Harry Potter.
Where's my Lego, Gemma? Where's my Lego?
I realise.
Where's my Lego? Yeah, you, the relaxed man. Where's my Lego? Where's my Lego?
I like doing it with a glass of wine. I think that is my meditation, that. That's interesting.
It's fucking annoying when you're trying to watch telly. As you're rifling through the bricks.
It's not the noise. I don't even make... That's the noise I'm doing with my mouth. That's not even my hands. Don't you like think the idea is nice of building little bricks? You know, meditating. Well, I'm going to do that.
Not while you're watching telly, it's annoying.
Well, that's what I'm going to do. We've got a few bits and bobs to finish off. Lots of gigs this week. I've got a gig tonight. I've got a gig on Wednesday. Frog a bucket at the weekend. Don't zone out, Gemma.
I'm not zoning out. You're gigging every night but Tuesday.
All right.
Fine.
Stop doing that with
whatever.
I wish you'd be a bit more supportive of my venture.
Anyway, thank you so much.
And also, I'm going to be announcing some more tour dates for the new year. So we're going to announce those just before Christmas. So do get on those. I'm going all
over.
Why
aren't you announcing them now?
Because we're still booking them, okay, finalising them. Do you know where I'm going, Gemma? I'm going to Belfast and Dublin. Are you impressed with that?
Yeah.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Gemma, for that endorsement of joy there. So yeah, if you do know anyone in Belfast and Dublin... Spread the word. I'm going to be there towards the end of next year doing my tour show. I think that is about it for my week.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We love to speak to you.
Do drop us a line. If you want to
get email us at bwtbpod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and also check us out on the socials at bwtbpod. I always forget the pod bit. And we will speak to you next week. Have a cracking week. Enjoy what you're doing. If you are monking, if you're going a bit of monking, a bit of meditation, Tell us how you meditate. Tell us how you switch off. Tell us how you reconnect with your soul. How about that, Gemma?
Brilliant. Yeah. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Have a great week.
Take care.
See you soon.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tune in, it's